Good morning, Chris. This is Kay. I'm here.
Good morning, Kay. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. It's a tough morning because it's the middle of the week and the middle of the work day, so we're all trying to squeeze this in our busy, busy days. But we're all very anxious to hear the rest of your story. So
Okay.
okay, let me go ahead and do the intro. We'll do a prayer, and then I'll give you the floor so we can move forward because we're excited to hear, what happened with you. For those of
Okay.
you who are dialing in, if you're new to this phone call, my name is Chris, and I'm just like you. I'm standing for my marriage. I'm standing on God's word and God's promise to bring my wife back home. You see me on the prayer wall. Sometimes I go crazy and I post a lot of stuff, and sometimes you won't see me for a couple of days. It's just, the way the Holy Spirit moves, well, in each of us. But anyway, it's not about me. On this call, we're going to hear part two of Kay's testimony. And if you haven't heard the first part, now Kay is a stander, standing for her marriage. But she's also a former prodigal, and the reason why we're having these two conference calls is the first one, she gave her testimony of being a prodigal and the Lord turning her from being a prodigal to a stander, and that's very important because it gives us insight into the prodigal's mindset and where they are mentally, emotionally, spiritually. We read that also if you're on RMM. If you've read any of Bob Steinkamp's books, one of my favorite is The Prodigal's Perspective. If you've read that, if you haven't read that book, you've got to read that book. But Bob and so many other testimonies that I've heard from prodigals who have either come back to their marriages, marriages been restored, or they're still standing. There seems to be a pattern of similar occurrences. The details might be different from one to the other, but there's a pattern that takes place. There's a way that God pursues the prodigal to bring them back to Him, and then back to the marriage. So that's the reason why we're having Kay do this. And so if you haven't heard the first part of Kay's testimony of prodigal turned stander, go on to our website. It is posted. It's on praisereports.org. I am currently remodeling and giving it a facelift. So if you go on the main page, you'll find it either in the menu at the top or down below, just below the very top. You'll see where it says, I think, the archive of conference calls. You'll be able to click on that. It'll take you to the link. You'll see Kay's testimony from, I think, 2 to 3 weeks ago there. Today, we're going to listen to part two, and part two is going to cover specifically just the night that God encountered Kay. And I think this is very, very powerful because this is what we want. This type of encounter is what we want our prodigal to experience. Very little, if anything, that we say or do, as we've learned, if you've been standing for more than a month, you know that there's almost nothing we can say or do to get our spouses to turn around and come home. We can do and say things to drive them away, but we can't do anything to bring them back. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's where our prayers need to be focused on, is that area. Lord, change their hearts. And I read something recently, just I think it was last week, and Kay, if you can share this, because it's very, very interesting. It gave me some insight. What we cannot, our spouses have walls that they've erected between us and them. That's why when we say and do things, it doesn't penetrate their heart because they've put up these walls. Hardness of heart, coldness, bitterness, unforgiveness, shame, guilt, pride, self-righteousness, any one of those or all of those. What I just read somewhere last week, someone, and I can't remember where I read it, but someone said, the secret of prayer, intercessory prayer for our spouses, is we ask God to move through the Holy Spirit where it's a back door to their heart. Think about this for a second. Nothing we say or do can penetrate their heart because of their wall, but the Holy Spirit can penetrate their heart, and there is no barrier that can prevent the Holy Spirit from touching their heart. All the walls they've erected that prevent anything we say to them will not prohibit or stop the Holy Spirit from backdoor access to their heart, directly through their spirit, to touch their heart, turn their heart, and that's our secret weapon, is prayer, so through the Holy Spirit, God reaches their hearts. And that's amazing. If you catch that, hold on to that, think about that. That tells us prayer, intercessory prayer, fervent prayer, the persistent prayer like the widow before the unjust judge, all of that is wrapped up in just that one statement. So, so I must share that with you because we've got to pray, guys. We've got to pray. We've got to be fervent in our prayers. We've got to be persistent in our prayers. We have to believe that our prayers are working. And as Kay and so many others have said, every single day they're hearing the Lord speak to them. Our prodigals are hearing the Lord. So having said that, let me start. If you're new to the call, I'm going to put everybody on you while we hear Kay's testimony. And then at the end, we'll open up the floor for a Q&A. I'm going to mute everybody out. We're going to hear only Kay. And then, all right, so let's get started. Oh, by the way, at the end, when we do Q&A, please do not mention your spouse's name. If you want to mention your first name, that's optional. It's up to you. I will post this recording on the praisereports.org website, which is a website that I run. And if you go to, by the way, there's like over 130 testimonies of restored marriages. Restored marriages. I want to emphasize that. They're not just like, well, God's helping me stand. That's great, but the victory is in the end result of, is your marriage restored? Yes, that's the victory. So on praisereports.org, there are over 130 testimonials, videos, and written testimonies of restored marriages. If you need encouragement, go there. Go there, and I link them up from various places throughout the web. And I have more of them that I want to add, but time limits me. So go there. This recording will be posted there in a few days. You can go back and listen to it again. Let me go ahead and start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for creating a space and the opportunity for all of us to come together in this conference call. Father, I pray that you would speak in and through Kay today, that we would, each one of us who are hearing it now live or in a recording, that we would all be moved and touched and encouraged and blessed by your word, your promises, by your character and your nature, that you can restore each and every one of our marriages, and that you will restore. If we stand with you, we will rebuild these walls around our marriage. We will see your goodness in the land of the living. We will see your promises. We will see your word come true in our own lives, in our own marriages, in our own families. We will see it, Father. And that's what your word promises. So, Father, we pray that you would encourage us, speak to us, give us, let our hearts hear you, your word, your presence, feel your presence. Let us come to know that you are true, that your word is true, and Satan's lies and deceptions are false, and they will fail, because every lie and deception will come to an end and fail, because they cannot stand against your word. So, Father, we pray that you would anoint us with your Holy Spirit, anoint us with your truth, your presence, and let this be a blessing to each one of us now and on the playback for those future listeners. We pray and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Kay, thank you again for your time. Yes. You've got the floor.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. I pray that you all are having a blessed day. Okay. I pray that you all are having a blessed day. Before I get started, the Lord gave me a word to give you all this morning. So if you want to write it down, you can, and I will read it. It's Isaiah 60, and it's the New Living Translation, verse 2 through 5 and verse 22, which is the last verse of that chapter. So it reads, "Darkness as black as night covers all of the nations of the earth, but the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. All nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. Look and see, for everyone is coming home. Your sons are coming from distant lands. Your little daughters will be carried home. Your eyes will shine and your heart will thrill with joy. For merchants from around the world will come to you. They will bring you the wealth of many lands." And the last verse reads, and the Lord specifically told me to read those verses in the last verse, which says, "At the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen." So I just wanted to read that to you all. You can write it down, make it plain, confess it over your life, your husband's life, but your husband or wife's life. But his word specifically says his sons and daughters are coming home, and it cannot return void. So I was told to read that, so I'm being obedient to that, and I pray that you all take it in and don't let it be uprooted from your heart, because it's already done. So those of you who might be new to this call, I'll give a quick rundown on my story and then my encounter with God. But as I was listening to my part one, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I realized that I was actually an in-home and out-home prodigal. Quickly, my husband and I married, and we experienced problems. My heart became hardened, and I ended up moving out of the home while we were still married to finish school and go home and move to our hometown with our children and with our family so I could have help while I finished school and got, like, work history under my belt and everything, because I was a stay-at-home mom. Within that time, the enemy swept me in even more, and I ran into old friends and things like that. So I quickly got swept into the distant land. Within that time, I manipulated my husband into a divorce, and that's what happened. So, I thought I should point that out, that I actually was an in-home and out-home prodigal. So I saw both sides of being mean to my husband within the home as well as out of the home. So within the time of me being a prodigal, the Holy Spirit spoke to me every day, every single day, or showed me things, or had family or strangers speak things into me. It was, now that I look at it now, it was very powerful. There was not one day that the Holy Spirit did not speak to me or show me something. But in my case, I felt superior. I felt like I was in control. I felt like I was free. I felt like I felt like I had control of my life, my future, everything. And I will say this, even when I was a prodigal, I always knew that I was coming home to my husband. I just had pride and an ego, so I couldn't let that come out of my mouth. I couldn't say it. And I will also say this, your prodigal does not look at time the way that you do. They can easily say, I'm just going to have a little more fun for one more year, for two more years, then I'm going home. Whereas we look at it like one more year, two more years, it's longer to us because we're standing in it. But for a prodigal, their time is not like our time. Because I said that quite often. I was like, okay, one more year, and then I'm going to go home. Because my lease is up in one more year, so I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go there, I'm going to have a little more fun, and then I'm going home. So I felt led to say that, if your prodigal, they know that they want to come home, but they're in this lifestyle that they think is fun and is exciting. And really, when they're laying their head on their pillow at night, they're really empty. They're really broken. They're really lost, because it's nothing like the love of your spouse. It's nothing like that comfort of your spouse laying next to you and being in the home with you every day. Nothing in this world, no amount of partying, drinking, any of that can replace that feeling, because that's a feeling that God ordained. So I felt led to say that, because I've listened to my part one several times to allow the Holy Spirit to pour into me even more for this call today. And that's something that was placed on me, is that your prodigal's time is completely different than yours, because they're blinded. So they don't value time the way that a standard does. But they know in their heart that they want to come home. It's just a matter of prayerfully, they don't have to get an encounter like I did, and their heart can just change. But in my case, I was deliberately being disobedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit and everything that God was showing me. I was deliberately being disobedient. I was deliberately saying, no, I'm not doing it right now. One more year, this or that. I was just making excuses. And finally, a day when I least expected it, God, I had an encounter with God. So I'll go there. I will never forget, I went to our oldest son. It was his senior night at his football game, and I walked him out on the field. My husband couldn't be there because we were in separate cities. And so I did that as usual. We have three children. We have an older son who's in college now, and then two younger children who are elementary age. So at that time, our oldest son was a senior, and I went to his football game, and it was senior night, so all the parents had to walk them on the field and get flowers and rewards and stuff like that. So I did that, and I went home and got the boys in bed, got them fed and in bed and everything, and I laid down, went to sleep, and it's like all of a sudden I just started feeling like paranoia, and I could not breathe. I know that's so crazy, because it's like I couldn't breathe, but I still knew what was going on. And I instantly rolled over and I fell out of my bed onto the floor. And I thought in my head, it's like I heard a voice in my head say, you didn't think this was going to happen to you, but you're coming with me. You've been playing. You're coming with me. And I instantly just started, I think my screams were in my head instead of out loud, because my children were asleep through all of this. And this encounter happened from about 11 p.m. until maybe 4 o'clock in the morning. That's how powerful it was, me fighting and pleading and begging for my life. So I fell to the floor. I could not breathe. I could not breathe. I couldn't talk, but I was like talking and screaming in my head, but it wouldn't come out of my mouth. So I'm just begging and pleading, like, Lord, please, please don't take me. My children need me. And I'm thinking in my head the whole time, my husband needs me. They need me. I'm a prodigal at this time now. I'm thinking in my head, they need me. Please, please. I'm only 30. At the time, I was only 33. I'm like, I'm only 33 years old. Please, my children are young. What, they need me. I'm just crying and screaming. And in that night, I experienced hell and heaven. I first experienced hell, okay? So I couldn't breathe. I fell out of my bed, and I just dropped to the floor, and instantly my spirit fell quickly. So I will say that the fall to hell is very quick, okay? So at the time, I didn't know this where I was. And so I was looking around. It was just dark, no sunlight. But it's not dark to where you can't see anything. I really honestly can't explain it, but it's dark and it's so stuffy. You can breathe, but it's not clear air. It was so stuffy to where, I don't know if any of you own a space heater in your home or something like that, but, or imagine turning your car heat on and you literally putting your face in front of one of the vents and trying to breathe. That's how it is constantly in hell. And while I was down there, it's like I heard in my head, like, you chose this life. You chose this. This is what you chose. You wanted to party. You wanted to run away from your responsibilities. You wanted to run away from your husband. And how can you be a good mother if you're doing all of these things? And every wrong thing that I did replayed over and over and over in my head. So I will say that as well. Hell is a place that you cannot turn off your thoughts. It's like a mental asylum almost. Every wrong thing you did in your life from a child to that age of your passing, which none of you will go there in the name of Jesus, but I had to experience this to get on the right track. I see that now. Every wrong thing that I did from a child to age 33 at that point replayed over and over my head, and I was just sitting there like, I wish I could apologize to this person. I wish I would have did this differently. I wish I was in heaven. I was thinking that. Like, I wish I was with God. I wish I was with my children. Why did I make this decision? Why did I do this? It's like in hell, you cannot turn it off. It's constant. Those are your constant thoughts. So after I experienced that for I don't know how long, because this encounter happened from 11 p.m. to around 4 a.m. So I don't know how long I was in that point. While I was in that state, the Lord showed me images of ways I could have passed away. I saw me having a car accident and my car going into like a lake or water or something, and I couldn't get out of my car. And in that moment, I was thinking like, God, please, I'm so sorry. It's like I wanted to change every mistake I made, but it was too late. So in that moment, God showed me my funeral. It's like he was showing me different stages of how my life could have ended. He showed me my funeral, and this is something that I will never forget. I saw my husband, I saw my mom, and I saw my children on the very front row crying, and I could not touch them. I heard the most beautiful angelic music playing that I have ever heard to this day that I have never heard. It was playing at my funeral, and it's like at that point I was swept up from, I wasn't in hell anymore, but I was side by side with Jesus. And it's like we were up in the air hovering over my funeral, like to where he could show me what was going on. So I saw my funeral. I heard speeches. I heard songs playing. I saw my husband and children on the front row. And it's like my spirit was just so sad because I was wishing that I could change everything. But by this point, I had a little peace because I was side by side with Jesus. And I will say this, the fall to hell was much quicker than the walk to heaven. The walk to heaven was very long. I was side by side with Jesus, and it was the most beautiful light I have ever seen. It's not a light that we can see. This air that we breathe right now has no comparison to the air in heaven. It's so clear. I wish I could put it into words to explain to you all, but it's so beautiful. This air that we breathe on earth has no comparison to the air in heaven. So on the walk with Jesus, I could not see his face, but I saw like his beautiful robe and sandals, and I just had so much peace, but I still did not want to leave my husband and children. So I had a talk with Jesus, basically, and he was just asking me, like, my child, what do you want? Do you want a life with me, or do you want a life that I just pulled you from? And I instantly said, I want a life with you. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to leave. And he said, well, unless you mean it, you're coming with me because you know the Father, but you've been being disobedient. You're still going to come with me, but you won't see your children again. And in that moment, it's like I still was struggling. Even though I was going through all of this, I still was struggling with, it's like the enemy was still trying to pull me. So from 11 p.m. to 4 a.m., it's like I kept falling back and forth until I was truly, truly repentant. And once I really felt it in my heart, and I was like, okay, enough is enough. You know, this is life or death for you. Why are you playing? I felt it in my heart, and I was like, God, I choose you. I choose you. And in that moment, I felt a big breath, like he just blew into me so hard to where I came back to, and I was like, like that. It was that hard. And I'm sorry, I'm probably loud because I'm so passionate about it. Like, I can feel it right now. I felt God breathe life back into me. And I opened my eyes, and I was back in my bedroom, and I just fell to my knees, and I just cried so loud. And I just thank God. And I was like, you know what? I'm doing everything I promised Jesus that I would do. I'm doing everything that I promised the Lord I would do. I'm going to be the woman that he created me to be. I'm going to fight for my marriage. I'm going to be the wife that he created me to be. I'm going to be the mother that he created me to be. And that is a night that I will never forget. I will never forget it. And I just remember that I don't even know if I went to sleep that night, but I know the next morning I called my mom, and I was so shook up, and my chest was hurting so bad. And I see now that God had to do that to show me, your chest is going to hurt for a while because this really happened to you. I breathe life back into you, so this is the proof. So, you know, I know you know it happened to you, but you're going to feel this to know that this is me. So I called my mom the next morning, and I was like, Mom, I said, please don't think I'm crazy, but am I really on the phone with you right now? Like, am I really talking to you? And she said, I would never think you're crazy, you know. And I explained to her what happened, and she just cried. And she said, baby, that was God. That, and to this day, my mom even changed her walk and her life due to that testimony, because heaven and hell is real, and our God is real. And he is, when it says he never leaves us or forsakes us, he doesn't. He is right with us and our spouses all the time. And it made me even more empathetic towards my spouse, because I'm like, no way. My husband is, I refuse to let him end up where I had to be for my eyes to be open. That's nowhere you would even want your worst enemy. It was that terrible in hell. And heaven was just the opposite. It was so beautiful. But I still knew that I had work here to do. I still felt in my heart that it wasn't time, and I thank God for seeing that too, and I thank God for a second chance to do it right and do it with him. So I'll stop there, but that's what happened to me due to my disobedience, because even as a child, I've just always been a spiritual person. I've always felt angels around me, and just I've just always been different spiritually. I've always known that there is a God and there is a Jesus and a Holy Spirit and all of those things. And for me, I feel like it was needed for me to experience that because I completely lost my way. And it's like I was hearing the Holy Spirit more and more, but I was purposely ignoring it. And it's like, I guess God was like, I have given you sign after sign after sign. The Holy Spirit has spoken to you over and over and over. And you think that you're going to tell me next year? You think you're going to tell me when you're ready? Okay, I'm going to show you who is in control. And that is exactly what happened to me. So if your spouse is hearing that and deliberately ignoring it, I feel like that's when the glory of the Lord, he has to step in. He's a God of love, but he's also a God of justice, and it's not to hurt us. That night, yes, it was very scary, but it was the most beautiful night of my life as well because it changed me. It changed me completely from the inside out, and I think God, he knows that. He created each and every one of us, so he knows what his children need. He knew that's what I needed for me to change. He knows what your spouse will need. They might not need anything. They might change literally overnight, wake up and scales be completely removed from their eyes. But in my case, that's what I experienced. And I pray that it touched each and every one of you today to know that your prayers are covering your spouse and your prayers are not falling to the ground, because when I was a prodigal, my spouse was praying for me, and my family was praying for me. And even though I ignored it and was so mean to each and every one of them, their prayers covered me. I'm still here, and I thank God that I'm able to share this with you all, because he is real. He is so real. And if he says something, it's done. If he says that your marriage is restored, it is done. And the Holy Spirit just told me to tell each and every one of you that it's done. You just have to believe it. God just wants to be first. When we get to a point to where he is first, it's like the blessings will come in like clockwork. But we have to be the husband and the wife that he created us to be, to receive it, because he does not want us to have the marriage that we had before. He wants us to have a marriage made in heaven. And that's straight from God. So I pray that this bless each and every one of you. I'll leave room for questions at this point. Even if you have questions about my encounter, maybe it's something I didn't touch on enough or whatever. Yeah, so I'll open it here for any comments or questions that you all may have.
Thank you, Kay, for sharing all that. I'm going to fire off two questions real quick, and then we'll open up the floor to everyone else.
Okay.
Actually, one of them is a comment. Those of you who are familiar with Bob Steinkamp's story of the prodigal coming back to Charlene, Restore Marriage Ministries, you'll recall that in one of his in his testimony, he mentions one night when he's alone in his condo, and he had a similar encounter as Kay just mentioned, where he started experiencing extreme physical pain. He almost, and as he explains it, he thought he might even be having a heart attack, and he might be found in the morning dead. So what he did is he went downstairs. He slept on the couch. He actually unlocked the front door, so that way if he does die in the middle of the night, you know, his wife, who at that point was, you know, they were divorced, but at that point, anyone coming looking for him would be able to just come straight in and find him, you know, there. So he slept that night, the entire night, on the couch, suffering from extreme pain, believing he might be having a heart attack. So if you haven't heard that story, It's posted on RMM website. They've got a ton of resources, and his testimony is shared. And again, by the prodigal's perspective, his book, it's a short book. It's very easy to read, very quick. You can read it in one sitting, but you've got to read it. I read it several times. So similar experience, and it's not the first time. God does encounter us all the time like that. The second thing I want to – now here's my question, Kay, is – mm-hmm. What would you say to the stander? What would you say to the stander that is at a place right now? They've been standing for a while, and a while it could be 6 months, 2 years, 3 years. The stander is at a point right now where they know that they need to guard their heart, but they're battling this feeling, this emotion, this. They're battling this hardness of heart where they're saying, they're hearing the voices in their mind saying, why do I want that person back? Because I don't feel, now this is a lie. We know this is a lie from the enemy. But the lie is this, I no longer love my husband or I no longer love my wife. Because if we can buy into that lie, then we've got one foot out of standing for a marriage. We really do. So what would you say, because you're a former prodigal, now you're standing, what would you say to that person who is wrestling and battling that lie? Because it's very powerful.
Yes. I would say this, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me as you were saying that. We have to ask ourselves, is there anything that we can do to lose the love of God? And the answer is no. We literally can murder someone. I know we won't, but this is just an example. We can murder someone today and go before the Lord tomorrow and repent, and he will forgive us. Before Paul was Paul, he was Saul, and he was literally killing Christians. And he was one of God's most powerful men in the Bible being used by the Lord. So to answer that, my comment to that would be if we know that heaven is where we want to spend eternity, we have to make that choice to love with the love of God to see that beautiful place. We have to make the choice to love our spouses the exact same way that the Lord loves us. And we have to also... His word says to ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Don't be afraid to open your mouth and say, God, I'm struggling with loving my spouse the way that you love me. Renew me. Restore me from the inside out. Fill me with your agape love so that I can love my spouse the way that you love me. Because it's like if you can't get to that point, how can you be ready to receive them? We have to be ready to receive them with the exact same love that our God receives us with, you know. So you have to just, I would say, make it up in your mind that Satan cannot have you or your spouse or your thoughts, because if you're feeling anything outside of love for your spouse, regardless of what they are doing, that's not from God. It's a tactic from the enemy to take you from your stand and take you from your promise. So it has to be a conscious choice that you want to love them that way. You want to receive them with the love of God. Everything else outside of that is a lie from the enemy.
Okay, good answer. Thank you, Kay. I'm going to open the floor now to everyone else, so you're going to hear this.
Okay.
And hang on a second. Okay. Now we're all open. Open floor, open Q&A. Fire away, guys.
Hey, Kay. This is Michelle. And
hi.
I actually listened to your first testimony a couple of weeks back, and you know, just some of the things that you you know, did as a prodigal. You know, those are some of the things that my husband is doing. So I've been standing for a little over 5 years, and I guess my question is, because and I feel, you know, I love my spouse, and but it's just no communication. Like, I moved a couple of weeks ago, and he came over because I asked him to, you know, fix something for me. But, and then that's when he actually told me that he was involved with somebody else. And then it's just no communication. Like, we can go months and not communicate with one another. And it's just so up and down. And it's like, how do you deal with the no communication?
For me, when I went through the months of the no communication, it was needed at the time, but
okay.
It hurt
yeah.
me, but now I see that it was needed for me to seek God and not my spouse, because God has given you that promise that your marriage is restored. It does not matter if another woman is in the picture at all. And so I would say my personal experience and my personal opinion, for me seeing God move within my life with the communication barrier, I had to make a choice to put God first. And I also had to take my eyes off of what my spouse was doing and saying and just come before the Lord transparently, like, hey, God, I really miss my spouse as my friend.
Yeah.
Can you prepare me? Can you renew me and restore me to be his friend? Because we have to be honest with ourselves and say, can we even be their friends right now? Are you strong enough to be his friend? You know, so for me, the no communication, I see now that God was building me and strengthening me to receive him as my friend, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I promise you, it can be done in a day. That's something else that the Holy Spirit spoke to me recently to share with you all, is that where does it say in the Bible that your change has to be 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years? It does not say that anywhere. It can be done in a day. You just have to receive it. So, I mean, you could lift up your hands right now and say, God, I receive my husband as my spouse. God, I receive the woman that you created me to be. God, I am ready for my spouse. You can be ready in a day. You can. It's nothing impossible for the Lord. So just start to say that you're ready. Start to come before the Lord and just be transparent with him and let him know that you miss your spouse, you miss that communication, and that you're ready to be ready to receive that communication.
Amen. Okay.
Because he's not going to allow us to get in a situation where it's going to make things worse. So, you know, because he knows that our marriages are going to be marriages made in heaven, because he's doing the mending, he's doing the restoring. So we also, I feel like if there's no communication in certain instances, it has nothing to do with it being something bad. I think it's something good. I think it's just God preparing whoever it is to receive their spouse in that way. Because it's like we can't be praying for communication, but we're still crying. You see what I'm saying? So it's like our spouses have to be able to see God within us. Like, if your spouse were to come to your house today, you want him to see the God in you, you know?
Right.
So don't be afraid to just go before the Lord and be transparent and be ready for your change, even if it's in one day. And I'm telling you, once your heart is in that place, and it can be done. I'm going to say that over and over again. It can be done today. It can be done today. It does not have to be a long process. Just make that choice that you're ready. I'm ready for my heart to receive my husband as my friend in any way that you see fit, and it will be done. It'll be done. Okay. Be still and know that He is God. You don't have to do anything or say anything unless the Holy Spirit leads you, and that door will be open to you. His word says it. Knock, and it'll be open.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
Awesome. Okay, let me say one thing real quick. One of you who's calling in from area code 404, I'm going to leave it at that. We're getting some static from your phone, so I'm not sure. I have to put you on mute because the static was coming through. I don't know if everyone else heard it. I put you on mute temporarily. See if you could check your phone, your line, when you reconnect. Yep, there's the static. I could put you back on mute. Sorry. Maybe dial back in and see if you get a clear connection so we don't get that static interfering. Okay, continuing with the Q&A. Others, questions?
I have a question. This is Kay. Hi, Kay.
Hi.
Right. So I'm trying to integrate everything you just said, but so I have a situation where I have an in-home prodigal after two, what you could say, false starts. Now, in my situation, I'm stuck between, you know, the zip the lips, quote unquote, where, you know, not to say anything and kind of just let them do what they do and come to you. But like you said, like I have this longing, you know, they're in the house, you see them, you want to touch them, you want to talk to them, you know, obviously all the stuff that goes with that. But mine gets angry if I even try to talk anything beyond things about the kids. And so what do I do as a stander? And I know you say it can happen overnight, and I do believe that it can because I've seen, you know, these false starts happen like out of nowhere. What do I do in the meantime? Because I feel like if I leave them alone that I'm just giving up, because mentally that's kind of the space I have to go into to preserve myself. So like, what do I do?
Be still and know that the Lord is the Lord. That's also another lie of the enemy, that we have to do something and say something. And I can say this from personal experience. And this happened to me recently. I don't know if you listened to my part one of my testimony or not, but my spouse and I, and that's another thing. As of this past week, I no longer call my spouse my prodigal, because that's labeling him. I'm just going to say my spouse,
right,
or my husband. So okay, this past weekend, we live in the exact same apartment. We live 1 minute from each other. And I just was feeling kind of like this longing of wanting to spend time with him and the kids. And God just kept telling me, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to say anything. I am God. I am the King of Kings. You do not. And do you know, we spent Friday, Saturday, and Sunday together. Even when the kids went to sleep, me and him still spent time with each other. And I did not do or say anything, but it's a matter of I had to fight through that fleshly feeling. I had to fight through that emotion. And when I was obedient to that, God was like, okay, you can spend all weekend with him. You were obedient. You didn't say anything. You didn't do anything. So my opinion with that would be to know that God is God, and he has your husband in the palm of his hand. A sanctified wife can sanctify the home. One spouse can save a marriage, you know. Mm-hmm. So just continue to look to God, and I promise your spouse will see the God in you, and eventually that wall and that barrier will be broken. Only do something if God or the Holy Spirit has led you to do so, but don't let his actions determine your walk. Don't let his actions determine your posture, your facial expressions, your body language. Like, those are things we can pray for as well. Like, God, please allow my facial expressions to resemble you, because
right,
our spouses know us just like we know them. So
yeah.
I would say don't allow his actions to come before your faith walk and your walk with God, because it's already done. It is already done. And the things that you're seeing and feeling, it's a tactic from the enemy to try to get you off course. I was an in-home prodigal as well. So I was doing those things because I was being controlled by Satan. But God has authority over Satan. So we just have to know that. Just continue to, you know, cover your spouse with the word of God, and your presence alone can break chains. We don't have to say anything. Your facial expressions, you just entering in the room with him. If you cover by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of God, it can rub off on your spouse without you saying a word. You know, and if you are just talking to him about the kids right now, your tone can change him. Even if it's just about the children, or, you know, just pray about it. Maybe you can talk about his interests, or look to God and focus on God and the things that allow you and your husband to become one in the first place. You know, interests, dating again, things like that, especially since you all are still in one home. But make sure that you have permission from the Holy Spirit before doing or saying anything. But I will say, God is powerful, and he says, be still and know that he is God, because we don't have to do or say anything. So just know that if you do say anything or do anything, make sure you have permission from the Lord to do so. I hope it helps.
Okay, thank you for that answer. Other questions? Open floor Q&A. Other questions? All right. I guess that's it.
Okay.
All right, so as usual, today I'm going to ask you to, first of all, thank you for your time again, and thank you for the time and energy. And I know that you're on the prayer wall as well, and, you know, you help and encourage others, and thank you for all you're doing. We know that each one of us, when God's moving in our hearts and moving in our lives, moving in our circumstance, he's not doing it just for our sake. When God moves in our lives, even when he restores our marriage, he's doing it because he wants others to see what he has done. It's his glory. It is his glory that is on display for him to receive the glory, the praise, the honor, the credit. So when we see God moving in our circumstance in the smallest way, even in the smallest way, he wants us to share it with other people, one, as a testimony of what he has done, and two, as an encouragement, but also that others may know that he was the one who did it. And so on that note, Kay, I want to thank you for taking the time and effort to do this. I know many who are hearing will be touched, will be encouraged by this. God's the one who's doing it all. God's the power source. It's like plugging in into the wall outlet, anything electrical. If you don't plug it in, you're not going to get any power. God is our source for everything that happens. So we have to plug into that source and then stay plugged in, because Satan wants to unplug us, and that's the power of prayer. Prayer is simply just communicating with God. And, you know, I think we're taught in church to, you know, prayer is, you know, you have to get into your private place, or you have to bow your head, you have to put your hands together, close your eyes. There's all this formality that we've been taught. And we could be talking to God while we're driving down the road. We could be talking to God while we're in the middle of a conversation at work or with our spouse or with our children or in any situation. In our minds and in our hearts, we could be communicating with God, because I've done that before many times when I've encountered my wife with certain issues. And in the middle of a conversation with her, I would pray in my heart, my spirit, and the Lord would quickly direct me of you know, say this or don't say that. So that's really what prayer is constant communication with the Lord.
Also, Kay, I don't know if you're still on the line, but and anyone else listening, I just thought of something else as well, being a former prodigal. Know that your spouse is always looking at you and paying attention, even if you don't see that, even if you're just exchanging the kids, for anyone listening, even if you're just exchanging the kids or in passing for 1 minute or whatever the case may be, know that as a former prodigal, I can say I was always looking at my husband, looking at his facial expressions, trying to figure out, is he okay? I wonder what he's doing, all these types of things. So anytime that my husband, when I was a prodigal, anytime that he was in my presence, I was paying very close attention to everything he was doing, everything he was saying, honestly, everything he was wearing. Why does he have a fresh haircut? I mean, anything. So just know that your spouse is watching you. They're paying attention. So, and you're one. You're still one before the eyes of the Lord. So whether you're divorced or separated, you're still one. So they know if you're off balance. You're one. They can feel it. They know if you're down and out. They know if you're anxious or depressed or any of that. So I'm speaking to myself as well, because I'm still standing. We have to make it a choice to not allow Satan to have any of our 24-hour day, because he didn't bless us with that 24 hours. God did. So we have to just make that conscious effort, especially anytime we're blessed to be around our spouse, no matter how long it is, to allow them to feel and see the God in us, because they can be saying they hate us. But trust me, they are paying attention. What God joined together, no man can separate. They are paying close attention to you, more than you know, more than you know. Even if there isn't any communication, they know. Trust me, they're paying attention. They are, because I did as a prodigal. I was paying attention to everything he did, everything. I wasn't telling anyone, but I was taking notice, and that love was still always there deep down inside. So just know that you stood before God, you said your vows. No other man or woman or drug or alcohol or worldly circumstance can come in between that. God put that together. Nothing can come in between that. The circumstances that we see and we face, that's from the enemy to try to get us off track, because our marriages are for generations. It's for our children and their children and their children. So it's like, if the enemy can get one person to stop standing, that's potentially a generation falling, you know? So it's bigger than that. It's bigger than each and every one of us. And we just have to know that it's already done. And I don't know if you all got to write down the verse that the Lord gave me to give you, but it was Isaiah 60, verse 2 through 5, as well as verse 22 in the New Living Translation. So we just have to continue to encourage one another and look to God and just know and rejoice, because it's already done. Just speak his word and know that it can't return void. It's done. So I felt led by the Holy Spirit to say that it doesn't matter what your spouse is doing. They're paying attention to you. They are.
So we have been blessed to become one with them, regardless of our circumstance, to show them the God in us. And eventually you get tired of that lifestyle. No other man or other woman can ever be your spouse, ever. And if they know that they can come and look to you for peace, that's going to be the first place that they want to run to. You know, so just stay encouraged. And I'm telling you as I tell myself, because it's done. It's done.
Okay, so before we wrap it up in prayer, this conference call, I want to leave you guys with a couple of encouraging things to think about. I cannot emphasize enough, and I know that the website is undergoing a facelift, but it's there if you look for it. It'll just take you a few seconds. I could not encourage you guys enough to go to praisereports.org, and here's the reason why. I built that website to house restored marriage testimonials. I personally have read and heard over 200 restored marriages. I've had conference calls with several restored marriage couples and individuals. There are links on that website, praisereports.org. There are links on there to books and stories. You guys have heard of Karen Wheaton and her daughter, Lindsay Doss. You've heard their testimonials. There's links to their YouTube videos there. I've read the book a couple of times. They each have a book, the mother, Karen Wheaton, the daughter, Lindsay Doss. And there's others that are linked on there as well. The whole point is this. Here's the point. They're testimonials. Revelation 12:11, we're told that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, and by the word of their testimony. Every single time God restores a marriage, it becomes a testimony to everyone else who hears it. And that testimony in your life, yours, you have to take this, you have to receive this and own this for yourself, not for others, for you. Because you're in this battle. This is your battle. This is your marriage. So you have to take it, own it, personalize it, and say, Lord, you are mine and I am yours. So testimonials are powerful because the more you expose yourself to testimonials of restored marriages, two things will happen. One, it'll sink into your heart where your heart will go beyond just hoping. Your heart will go from hoping to believing to knowing that God will restore your marriage. When your heart gets to the place of knowing God's going to do it, nothing's going to move you. Nothing your spouse says or does will move you from that position. That's what it means to be rooted and planted in Jesus Christ and his truth. That's why here, 3.5 years later, I'm still fine standing with my wife, standing for my wife. And I'm not moved. Do I wake up in the morning some days and I'm totally attacked with unbelief or with doubt or with, you know, well, I don't want to love her anymore. No, that's a feeling and emotion. It's not mine. Because love is not. God does not define love as feelings and emotion. So I've gotten to a point where I could learn, say, wait a minute, that's a feeling and emotion. I'm not feeling love towards her right now. But God, I know what that is. It's a feeling and emotion. I'm going to set that aside. I know that by tomorrow, that feeling and emotion will pass. I'm going to lean into you because love is not, according to 1 Corinthians 13, it is not a feeling and emotion. It's patience. It's kindness. It's gentleness. It's keeping no record of wrongs. It's forgiveness, et cetera, et cetera. That's what God defines as love. So I have to lean on the things that I've learned. One thing we have to understand is this, and I want to point out this scripture, 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, do not think it is strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing is happening. I see this question on the prayer wall a lot. Why is this happening? Go here. Look, Peter talks about this. Why do you think it's strange? Go look, go see what God says. God says, why do you think it's strange? Have you not read my word? Okay, so Psalm 91, at the very end, the last verse of Psalm 91, God says, he is with us in our storm, our trial, our testing. So nowhere in the Bible does God say, oh, well, once you're a Christian, we're going to be totally protected. There's another verse that says, Jesus says this himself. He says, I'm trying to memorize this now. Jesus tells us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Now, let me stop there for a second. There's more to the verse. So I'll continue in a second. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. It doesn't say that no weapon will be formed against us. It says weapons formed against us will not prosper. Will weapons be formed against us? Absolutely. There's many verses where God says, hey, it's going to happen. You're going to be tested. Arrows are going to be shot at you. Sickness, disease will come to your home knocking on your door. Divorce and separation will come knocking on your door. But I will be with you. And I will deliver you. There's many verses. I could make a list of verses where God said this, Old Testament, New Testament. These weapons will be formed against us. They will be shot at us. And they are going to be used by God. Think of Joseph. God turned what Satan meant for evil, turned it to good. God restored. Job, same thing. He was attacked. God restored. God is with us. Again, it's at the end of Psalm 91. God is with us. Never leave us nor forsake us. Never leave our marriage nor forsake our marriage. And he will deliver us from every single one of those. Just this morning before the conference call, God reminded me of that scripture. There's many scriptures. You can search, go online, look up the Bible, go BibleGateway.org, I think that's what it is, or any Bible, and do a search in the Bible. God says, Old Testament, New Testament, many times, I will deliver my people, you and me, are his people. He will deliver each one of us from every single one of these attacks. So the verse, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And we, you and me, we will condemn every tongue and every voice that raises against us, our spouse, our marriage, our family. Because this, the breastplate of righteousness that Jesus has given us, no one can take it away from us. The breastplate of righteousness is our heritage from Jesus Christ. So because of that breastplate of righteousness, we condemn every tongue and every voice, both in heaven and on earth, that raises itself against us, our spouse, our marriage, and our family. That's what it means to stand on God's truth. We can believe that, or we can believe Satan's lies of what we see or hear from our spouse, or the circumstances that come toward us through this attack on our marriage. And the attack, by the way, doesn't stop. The attack has no bearing or is not affected by whether you receive that piece of paper from the court or not. God ignores that. God doesn't pay attention to that. Oh, well, the court granted, you know, my spouse that piece of paper that they wanted. God, I think it's over. God says, well, who is man to overrule me? Did I not tell you I would restore your marriage? Did I not tell you I would restore your husband, your wife, your marriage, your family? Did I not tell you? What court, what man-made court, what man-made judge is going to issue a piece of paper contrary to what I told you? So, like Kay just said, we have to make a decision. Do we believe God and what God told us, or are we going to believe what Satan said through the court in that piece of paper or our spouse? We have to make a decision. Once we decide, more than half the battle is over. And that's why, again and again and again, go to praisereport.org, because those you've got to stay, and even myself, I several times a week, I'm going back and I'm listening to new testimonials. I have another 100 testimonials I want to add to the website of restored marriages. You know, people on the prayer wall say, well, where's all the restored marriages? They're everywhere. It is hard for someone to document them all into one place. That's what I'm trying to do. But you've got to go and listen to them. Everything's free. Everything on the resources, the marriage ministries that I link to, the books that I link to, everything. Everything is free. Go listen to them. Because your heart will be not only encouraged, but your heart will go from hoping to believing to knowing. And I believe that knowing is the deepest faith we can have with God. Because it's a place of not being able to be moved from. You become immovable. And at the point where you become immovable, it doesn't matter whether, like Kay said, our spouses, and thank you, Kay, for saying this, because I didn't ever even thought about this until you mentioned it.
You're welcome.
Our prodigals are not processing time in coming back as we are. We're looking at the clock and the calendar. And that's Satan's way of attacking us. For me, personally, I have 3 teenagers. Two of them are going to be, two of them are juniors now, and a third one's a freshman now. I mean, in a few years, they're going to be going off to college. And for me personally, one area that I get attacked is, oh man, look, every other week they're going back between your house and your wife's house. You've lost a year and a half of being with your kids. For me, that's a soft spot because I'm experiencing, I personally am going through, I know this is going to sound stupid for a guy and a father, but I go through empty nest. I really do. Because I've worked from home the entire time the girls have been since they were born. So I've been with them every single day. I work from home, been with them. I've, you know, been hands-on in their entire upbringing and their entire life. So I'm going through, you know, and one of my struggles. But Satan sees that as an opportunity to attack me. You lost a year and a half. How can you forgive your wife because she did this? That's an opportunity for Satan to come in and attack me. An opportunity for an open door for bitterness, unforgiveness, resentfulness, hard-heartedness, many other things. Anger. So Satan's going to look for opportunities in your specific situation where he's going to get the advantage and get a foothold to then open up the door to those negative things. So even in my situation, I have to go back to the same scriptures, the same promises that God made to me. And again, as even though I've heard several hundred testimonies of restored marriages, I have to go back every single week and stay in the Word. And I have to listen to testimonials again and again and again. Old ones, new ones, it doesn't matter. I have to do that. That's what it means to renew your mind daily with the Word of God, His promises, and the testimonials. Who God is, who we are in God. We should not be moved. If our identity comes from God, Ephesians, go to Ephesians, you'll find your identity in God through Christ Jesus. If you find your identity in God and God alone, and find out that He's your provider, you will no longer be moved by what your spouse says or does. You're not looking for them to say something to you or do something. I just need to be encouraged by what they're saying or doing. It becomes irrelevant. So anyway, I could go on, but I'm gonna get off my soapbox here. Sorry for kind of hogging this for a little bit. Kay, thank you very much for your time. Guys, go to praisereport.org, praisereports.org. You'll find it. If you have any questions about that or you're not sure where to find something, email me, chris@praisereports.org. And if there's anything I can do for you, let me know. You've got my email. Thank you for joining us today. We're going to close out prayer today. And Kay, again, I'm going to ask you if you would. Would you... close us out with prayer and, and bring a blessing and a prayer to all of us.
Okay, I sure will. And before I pray, God gave me a word, and he said that it's time to take authority. He has given us authority in the earth, and faith dominates time. Those were the exact words that I heard. Faith dominates time. His word says in Matthew 18:18, I tell you the truth, whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. He said it's time to take authority, the authority that he has given us, and stand on that, receive it, because it's already yours. If we allow Satan in, he's going to keep coming. If we bind him, he can't come anymore. And if he tries, he will fail miserably. You know, his word says if we allow it, he will allow it. If we forbid it and bind it, it's already bound in heaven. So I was led to give you that word. And also, if anyone needs prayer or just has any further questions, I don't know if you need a pencil and paper on hand, but I have an email specifically for that, and it is godpraiselove@gmail. godpraiselove@gmail. That's my email for questions, comments, prayer, whatever you need. I'm here as God's vessel to help in any way that I can. But the Lord himself said it's time to take authority. So we can't give our spouses and our families and our children over to Satan, because we belong to the Lord. So that was Matthew 18:18, the word that I was given to give you all. Excuse me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for every listener on this call and everyone who will call in later. I praise you, Father God, for touching each and every one of us today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for speaking through me. Thank you for giving me the courage and the strength to share your testimony. And I pray that it touches each and every soul that is blessed to listen to this call, Father. Father God, I pray that you touch every single household, touch every single stander, every single spouse, because they are not prodigals. They are our spouses. I know we use that term just to clarify where they are right now, but today we are calling them our husbands and our wives, because that's what they are. Father God, I praise you that each and every other man and woman that has been placed into their life is being set free right now as I say this prayer. Your word says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and I thank you for setting the other man and the other woman, as well as our spouses, free from the chains and the lies and the bondage of Satan. I praise you, Father God, that your word cannot return void. I praise you that you sent your only Son to die on the cross for each and every one of our sins. Heavenly Father, excuse me, those who are broken on the inside, those who are depressed, those who are experiencing anxiety or worry or any of the things that are not the fruits of the Spirit, Father God, I ask that you fill them. Fill them as they listen to this with your love and your peace that goes beyond their understanding. Fill them with the love of God. Allow them to see their spouses and to see themselves the way that you see each and every one of us. Allow everything within our spouses' lives as well as our lives that was not planted by you, Father God, to be completely uprooted. Father God, I praise you. I praise you for every marriage that is already restored, because it's already done. I praise you for every spouse that is coming home, every husband and wife that is ready to receive that spouse with your love. I praise you, Father God, in this moment for communication barriers to be broken, for doors to be open. I decree right now in the name of Jesus that Satan does not have a hold on our spouses, our circumstances, our finances, our households, our children, our marriages, or our lives any longer. I decree it. I decree it. Your word says, decree a thing and it shall be established. Therefore, I am coming boldly before your throne right now, saying, in this moment, Satan has to let go. He has to let go. His plots, plans, and schemes are cast away. They are cast away, thrown into the deepest pits of hell where they belong, Father. I praise you, and I thank you that it is done. I declare that there shall be an overflow of testimonies right now, starting right now, this day, Goliath was delivered into David's hand. So I know you're not a respecter of persons, Father. I'm declaring that this day, mountains are moving, chains are breaking, hearts are softening, eyes are opening, and everyone is walking in your perfect will and your favor. I thank you, Father God, that you love marriage. I thank you, Father God, that you love each and every one of us, Father. I praise you, and I thank you that it is already done for your glory. For your glory, Father God, I praise you that our spouses see you in each and every one of us. I praise you and I thank you, Father, that our children, no matter what age they are, they see a mighty mother and father. They see a marriage made in heaven. They see marriages the way that you designed them to be according to your word. I praise you that generational curses are broken within our lives, our children's lives, and their children for generations to come. I praise you that we have Ephesians 5 marriages, and we are Proverbs 31 men and women, according to your word, Father. I praise you and I thank you for miracles, blessings, signs, and wonders from this moment forward. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kay. God bless everyone. Have a great week. I'll be posting this. I'll post on a website or on RMM when this has been posted to the website. God bless you all. Have a great day.
You're so welcome. God bless you all.